Welcome to the Talk Radio Countdown Show with Doug Steffen, counting down what America's talking about.
Talk Radio Countdown.
The AL got on the board first on a solo home run by Adrian Gonzalez in the fourth inning. But big league home run leader Jose Bautista was thrown out at home later in the inning. The AL put runners on second and third in the top of the ninth, but closer Brian Wilson got Paul Konerko to ground out to end the game. The victory gives the NL home field advantage in the World Series.
It really benefits you. So that was part of the message, how important it was for us and how important the game was to do it again for the National League champion. Guys did it. They played well. We pitched well. Had some big hits.
After the game, it was announced that the Mets traded closer Francisco Rodriguez to the Brewers for two players to be named later. The Mets also sent cash to Milwaukee.
That's the Associated Press's Steve Carmazin reporting on Major League Baseball's All-Star Game. It's found the National League defeat the American League 5-1. All-Star Game ends sports number 10 this week on the countdown. Doug Steffen here with a welcome into our Talk Radio Countdown Show for the week ending Friday the 15th of July. We'll be reviewing the top 10 hits in talk radio as determined by the staff at Talkers Magazine, which is the talk radio Bible. This week, Major League Baseball, number 10, usually sports talk radio, is in the 10th spot. Roger Clemens in the Mistrial actually is number 9 on the countdown this week. From CNN, Suzanne Malveau reports the breaking news that Roger Clemens was in a trial that was over before it started.
The judge presiding over Clemens' perjury trial has declared a mistrial in this case. It is over evidence revealed to the jury that the judge believed would prejudice the jury against the former baseball star. The judge scolded earlier prosecutors for twice violating his orders not to reveal certain evidence to the jury, said it could put the whole case at risk. Well, the judge has concluded, in fact, that it has, declaring a mistrial over this. Now, you may recall Roger Clemens. He had testified before Congress 3 years ago denying that he ever used performance-enhancing drugs. Well, Clemens has been charged with lying in making those denials under oath. His attorney, Rusty Hardin, was questioning whether the hearing into the allegations of drug use exceeded Congress's authority, whether or not that was even legitimate here. Prosecutors are arguing that Congress, in fact, did have a legitimate interest in regulating steroids in baseball because it relates to the U.S. drug policy. But all of this now in question, this case and this trial against former baseball great Roger Clemens, because the judge now has claimed a mistrial over evidence that was revealed to the jury. So big questions in terms of whether or not this even moves forward.
Number eight item of the countdown, the newly released study from the Journal of the American Medical Association that says parents of extremely obese children ought to be losing custody of their children. Host Peter Boyle has talked to a caller about the problem of children being obese.
It's a guy by the name of David Ludwig, who's an obesity specialist. He's a physician at Harvard's. Harvard is affiliated with the Children's Hospital of Boston. And they talk about taking away obese kids from parents. Now, child removal, physical abuse, mental abuse, sexual abuse, those are clear signals. And you take the kid. It's necessary. But is obesity... And is it, as I've asked, is it that slippery slope, the next step? So why not, and I brought this up, and it obviously from reading the emails already this morning, but why not remove kids from homes when they have failing grades? Does it make sense? I mean, what more jeopardizes your future? Lousy grades or being overweight?
I see the problem's different. I see the problem is that we went ahead and we let the liberals and the statists take over.
Sure.
And you can't judge people, and you can't say anything.
But who makes the call?
Well, the whole thing is you can't say anything. I remember going over to people's houses when I was a child, and these are much older people, and even my great-grandparents. And I would be asking for more food.
Mm-hmm.
And they would say, no. Mm-hmm. They'd tell me, no, you can't have any more food. You're getting fat.
But
you can't say that to people anymore. But the older culture in the United States, you could tell people, mm-hmm. and you could intervene in people's lives. People could come over to somebody's house and say, look, we're worried about your kid.
All right, how about this one? You have a kid, you and the missus, you smoke cigarettes in the house.
Yeah.
You do what? How about we know this one, or at least we're led to believe that there are moments where pediatricians ask little kids when they're all by themselves, does your mom or dad have a gun in the house?
Coming up, political turmoil continues to rock the Middle East, and News Corporation's phone hacking scandal has grown. That's in the focus next on the Talk Radio Countdown Show.
Andrew Kilsant presents The Household and Requiem. If you find yourself shrieking in disgust because ants are invading the harmony of your clean kitchen and home, you need Amdro Kills Ants bait stations and stakes inside and outside your house. Amdro Kills Ants is a bait ants love, so they eat it and die. And that's a tune that'll keep your house humming. Find Amdro Kills Ants' entire line of products at a Walmart near you.
Wearing glasses with Crizal lenses can make a big difference in your vision. Because neither rain, nor snow, nor dust and dirt, nor smudges, or even the toughest scratches, nor the glare of oncoming traffic can keep your lenses from giving you the clearest vision possible. Crizal lenses. Live life in the clear. That's C-R-I-Z-A-L. Crizal. Ask for them at your eye care professional.
Are you on the same page as your spouse when it comes to planning for retirement? Most couples are not. A recent study by Fidelity Investments showed that husbands and wives often have very different plans and expectations about the future, from when and where they'll retire to how they'll finance their lifestyle. Chris McDermott, Senior Vice President at Fidelity.
Fidelity's research found that less than half of couples handle retirement investment decisions jointly. Even more concerning is that only 17% say they're completely confident that their spouse is prepared to assume sole responsibility of their finances if necessary. To improve their retirement readiness, couples must take the time to have honest, meaningful discussions about their retirement goals and priorities, either on their own or with an investment professional.
For more information, including a 10-step checklist to help couples get better prepared for retirement, visit fidelity.com/couplesviewpoint. I'm Molly McKinney. Keep in mind that investing involves risk, including the risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Join Macy's in Reading is Fundamental and Be Book Smart. Now through Sunday, July 31st, give $3 to provide a book for a child and we'll give you $10 off a purchase of $50 or more. Macy's will donate your $3 to Reading is Fundamental to help reach our goal of giving 1 million books to kids. Be Book Smart now through Sunday, July 31st at Macy's. Exclusions apply. See a sales associate for details. Learn more at Macy's.com/RIS.
When you're shopping for a home, at Wells Fargo, we're with you. That's why we created the Wells Fargo Priority Buyer Pre-Approval. Come in, sit down, and talk with a Wells Fargo Home Mortgage Consultant, and we'll let you know the mortgage loan range for which you could qualify. A Priority Buyer Pre-Approval is a great first step to help you start looking at homes within your price range. Wells Fargo. Together, we'll go far. A Priority Buyer Pre-Approval is not a commitment to lend. Please call for additional program details. Wells Fargo Home Mortgage is a division of Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Talk radio in review. We're at number 7, the situation in the Middle East, from CBS Mark Phillips reports on the latest successes and failures of those rebels working in Libya.
The battle on Libya's western front has been raging back and forth since the middle of last week. The rebels, always with fewer and smaller guns than the Gaddafi loyalist forces, have been using their usual tactics, making up in enthusiasm what they lack in firepower. The rebel gains made a week ago in this fight over the town of Qalish were lost in the Gaddafi counterattack today. Further along the shifting front line, the rebels held their position along a ridge. They were under fire themselves and said they'd been planning another attack of their own before today's setback.
These advances are really nibbles out of Gaddafi's side rather than a threat to his Tripoli fortress. But having come this far, the rebels really have no choice but to keep going.
We cannot go back.
There's no turning back. You can't go back because...
Look, we fight or we die. There's no another solution. Gaddafi didn't give us any other solution.
Sofian is a lawyer who had never picked up a gun in his life before now. In the machine shop, the teachers, shopkeepers, and students who make up the rebel force try to repair weapons captured from the Libyan army. The few tanks they've captured are more morale boosters than useful weapons because they don't have trained crews to use them. They go into the field with an assortment of old Kalashnikov automatic weapons, rocket-propelled grenades, and whatever makeshift rocket launchers they've managed to cobble together. And they complain they are unable to import what they need across the border from Tunisia.
You have enough weapons yet. Do you have the right kind of weapon?
To compare it to the Gaddafi's group, we don't have.
You don't have enough?
We don't have enough.
The rebels' problem is coordination between their own positions, they didn't know the Gaddafi forces were coming, and with NATO, whose jets weren't heard overhead for 2 hours after the retreat. But they were heading to the front line tonight anyway, to try to stop the Gaddafi offensive. Surrender is not an option.
Number six.
Up to number six on the countdown, the News Corporation scandal. Radio man Juan Conde talks to media analyst Jeff South about the latest on the phone hacking scandal, which is growing and it may involve more of Rupert Murdoch's empire, in fact.
What's the latest here on this scandal involving Rupert Murdoch's company?
Well, this has simply taken the media world by storm, and it's more like news of the weird rather than news of the world.
Mm-hmm.
The latest developments have been connected with Rupert Murdoch dropping his bid to buy a satellite television station or satellite television network in Britain called British Sky Broadcasting, which was kind of the trigger for this whole thing. He was hoping to get that deal sealed, and then suddenly these allegations came out, and more than allegations, some proven hacking, and that deal has collapsed. And there are new allegations that perhaps some reporters working for News Corp had tried to hack the phones of victims of 9/11. And so now you have U.S. politicians calling for investigations. You have, as you mentioned, News Corp owns, of course, Fox. It owns the Wall Street Journal, the New York Post. Some of the editors from the New York Post and from the Wall Street Journal are from the British tabs that Murdoch owns. And so there's some thinking, uh-oh, if those guys are implicated, you know, could there be repercussions, say, for the Wall Street Journal?
Yeah.
So it's rippling everywhere.
The U.S. politicians include a number of Democrats, including New Jersey's Frank Lautenberg, and then also
exactly.
Republican Peter King, who does terror stuff, has questioned whether or not these phones have been hacked.
Number five.
Afghanistan, the death of President Hamid Karzai's brother, number five on the countdown. Host Brian Freeman talked to CBS's military analyst Mike Lyons about whether Karzai's brother's assassination is a sign we ought to get out of Afghanistan once and for all.
Is Afghanistan out of control? Is now the time to be drawing down our troops? Mike, what's your opinion?
Well, it does impact what's going on there, the assassination. The issue with COIN and the counterinsurgency strategy is so much determined by the civilian population, and there's things we can control and things we can't control. And right now, the things we can't control are weighing more in favor of the other side and moving in a direction that's against what we think. And so, for example, in Afghanistan, the civilian population, if they rally behind the Taliban or the person who murdered Ali Karzai here, the brother, and move away from the Americans, and all the good work we've done in Afghanistan and Helmand Province, particularly last year, will be for naught because we've not won over the hearts and minds of the people there.
Which was the case, obviously, in Iraq. We had the same thing. There's celebration when Saddam was taken out or captured, at least, and then it just seemed to turn around. Are these people revolting? Not necessarily the Taliban, but the people of each country revolting because the U.S. didn't get out sooner, or can they even govern themselves? I guess that's the standing question.
Yeah, govern themselves and protect themselves. I mean, I think that they're torn because they don't like politically the fact that an infidel foreigner is on their country, you know, an American army in particular, you know, looking like occupiers. We don't think we're there doing that. We think we're there helping them defend themselves. I mean, but for example, the worst possible case is if we leave Iraq in 2 years, and it wasn't just for 20 years ago. It was a war between Iran and Iraq, and it was to keep the Iranians from crossing the border and attacking into a country that could really hardly defend itself at this point in time.
Coming up, more problems for the TSA as a new study cites over 25,000 airport security breaches. Up next on the Talk Radio Countdown.
The largest part of gaining radiant health is detoxification. You can drink ionized water, cleanse your intestines, eat a perfect diet, and even take lots of quality supplements, and in many instances, only make minimal progress. What is the key to detoxifying your body of mercury, heavy metals, chemicals, and drugs? It is glutathione. Glutathione is the master antioxidant used to detoxify your entire body. It stops free radicals, keeps cells young, and reduces inflammation. One World Whey protein powder may be able to raise your glutathione production by 64% or more. One World Whey is more effective than any other whey protein powder on the market because it is unheated and from grass-fed cows. All other, quote, cold-processed whey protein powders have been heated and damaged by 15% or more. One World Whey comes in three delicious flavors. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
You've heard great things about Berkey. You've been thinking of getting a Berkey water purification system, but for some reason, you haven't made your purchase just yet. Okay, here's one more reason to buy the best water purification system you can buy now. The Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com is giving away free Pelican flashlights. Yes, with every purchase of any Berkey water purification system from the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com, you'll receive a free Pelican 2360 LED flashlight, a $39 value. But it won't last long. This offer ends today. Hurry, call 877-886-3653, 877-886-3653, or shop online at GoBerkey.com. That's Go, BERKEY.com. No coupon code necessary. A free Pelican flashlight is yours with every purchase of any Berkey water purification system only at GoBerkey.com or by calling 877-886-3653. Hurry, offer ends today.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Doug Stephan here, up to number four in the countdown, the TSA hearings. Host Steve Scott with CBS's Bob Fuss about the status of a congressional hearing on airport security.
Bob, this comes on the heels of a couple of TSA incidents right here in our area. Is this one of those reactionary, hey, what's going on types of hearings?
Actually, I think this was pre-planned as a broader look at security, though clearly, you know, some of those incidents like a stun gun on a plane and the guy who flew cross-country without a ticket or an ID, you know, has raised interest. But I think the timing of this really was the release of this GAO report, the Investigators for Congress, which found, you know, how many people are kind of slipping through security one way or the other.
Well, we hear about 25,000 breaches in the 10 years since 9/11. It sounds like a lot until we mention it's among, what, a 5.5 billion passenger screen?
That's right, 5.5 billion. And what the TSA is pointing out is that that is less than 1%. And pretty much in anything that anyone does in life, that's a pretty low error rate. On the other hand, you know, it is also fair to point out that when it comes to security, it only takes one breach.
What seems to be the consensus in this congressional subcommittee? Tighter security?
Well, you know, I think they want it both ways. I mean, they obviously want better security. But on the other hand, the chairman of the subcommittee who called this hearing, Jason Chaffetz, a Republican of Utah, he also objects to some of the things the TSA is doing, including the whole body scanners that kind of show what's underneath people's clothes. And there's anger from him and others about incidents, for instance, like small children being patted down. And so what they're suggesting, and it's not an easy thing for the TSA to try to do, but they're trying to say, to be smarter and not just tighter and to try to find ways to focus on those who actually are more likely to pose a threat, including some of the, you know, psychological things they're doing where they post people around in the airport and look for people who are acting in ways that they shouldn't.
TSA takes a lot of heat. Has anyone suggested scrapping the program and starting over?
No. I mean, there are, you know, some suggestions from time to time to turn it back over to a private agency, to private companies. But no, I think everybody sort of understands that even when it's not 100% reliable and even when it's incredibly annoying, that in this modern day and age, airport security is something we have to have.
Here's Talk Host Jimmy Cefalo with Todd Starnes from Fox about the TSA trying to downplay the 25,000 security breaches, and those are what we know about.
TSA, they're saying, well, it's just a small fraction, but it is true that the terrorists only have to do it once.
Well, that is true. And again, when you look at the types of security measures that the average American has to go through, and the fact that they're not profiling the individuals most likely to commit terrorist attacks, many lawmakers on Capitol Hill are questioning whether or not the TSA is really going to be effective in stopping those terror attacks.
Yeah. Yeah, I was reading something this morning. In fact, I think it's front page Wall Street Journal about biometrics in Afghanistan and Iran, where we actually have caught terrorists by virtue of this. I know we've got a $1 billion program out there. Now, we haven't caught any terrorists at airports so far with it. Are they talking about new technologies like this to be able to make us more secure?
Well, you know, they won't go into detail about what's coming down the pike, but programs that they've been using is something called screening of passengers by observation techniques. They call it the SPOT program.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that it's not working. And that's coming from the government itself. The Government Accountability Office says that that program does not work. They have suggested, I think Amtrak police have actually suggested using bomb-sniffing dogs as a way to increase security without invading our privacy.
Right.
I think ultimately that's what it gets down to. Because, look, I think it's ironic. But the people they refuse to profile, some of those folks have been caught trying to commit terrorist acts on airplanes, but they've been stopped not by TSA, but by average Americans, passengers on jetliners.
TSA hearing number 4 on the countdown this week. So let's get to a recap here. Major League Baseball's All-Star Game number 10, Roger Clemens mistrial number 9, study on childhood obesity number 8, Middle East turmoil number 7, number 6, the News Corporation scandal. Number 5, the assassination of Hamid Karzai's brother. The TSA hearings are number 4. That leaves us with 3, 2, and 1. And they're coming up here on the countdown.
Save big during the PetSmart Power Sale. You'll find great deals on thousands of items when you use your Pet Perks card. Save $4 on all varieties of Iams cat food in 16 to 20 pound bags. Iams has a new taste your cat will love. And PetSmart has the largest selection of Iams formulas among leading retailers. Try Iams today because healthy never tasted so good. Don't miss this great Iams deal only at PetSmart. Happiness in store. While supplies last, offer valid through July 24th.
You want two things from your spray painting project, right? You want it to look great, and you want it to last. That usually takes two products, a primer and a paint. But not anymore. New Krylon Dual Paint and Primer does both jobs. So in just one easy step, you get great Krylon color and a finish that lasts like you primed it. Krylon Dual Paint and Primer in one for a great look that lasts. Krylon. Make it yours. Available at Walmart. Save money, live better.
Join Macy's in Reading is Fundamental and Be Book Smart. Now through Sunday, July 31st, give $3 to provide a book for a child and we'll give you $10 off a purchase of $50 or more. Macy's will donate your $3 to Reading is Fundamental to help reach our goal of giving 1 million books to kids. Be Book Smart. Now through Sunday, July 31st at Macy's. Exclusions apply. See a sales associate for details. Learn more at Macy's.com/RIS.
Wearing glasses with Crizal lenses can make a big difference in your vision. Because neither rain, nor snow, nor dust and dirt, nor smudges, or even the toughest scratches, nor the glare of oncoming traffic can keep your lenses from giving you the clearest vision possible. Crizal lenses. Live life in the clear. That's C-R-I-Z-A-L. Crizal. Ask for them at your eye care professional.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products. But increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
Question: can functional magnetic resonance imaging be used to read our minds? Author Jose Collazo answers yes in his two new books, America's New Slavery. For more than 13 years, author Jose Collazo has been trying to prove that the U.S. government has the capacity to read a person's thoughts with a revolutionary technology known as fMRI, functional magnetic resonance imaging, and there is proof that it exists. America's New Slavery explores this technology and its many possible applications in national security. Who has access to it? How is it being used? Does America's salvation rest in this technology? These and many other questions are answered in America's New Slavery, the new books by Jose Collazo, available on BN.com, Amazon.com, and Borders.com. America's New Slavery. All Americans should be concerned.
You know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health, and most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of most alkaline minerals available. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins and acid, helping you to regain your energy and health. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body to rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen, and raises the pH of your body to optimal levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Welcome back in. Doug Steffen here with the second half of this hour, overviewing the hot hits in talk radio for the week ending Friday, the 15th of July. Up to number three, the aftermath of the Casey Anthony trial. Talk host Dr. Joy Brown here with a focus on the public's reaction to Anthony's imminent release from prison.
All right, so we've asked people, if she were living next door, what would you do? And Donna's saying, I'd pretend that she did not exist. She'll have to live with that for the rest of her life. At some point, we'll answer to the highest power of all. Okay, so ignoring. Gerard says, like it or not, and despite public opinion polls, she was found not guilty in a system of justice, which is supposed to be, if nothing else, honored. Until some further evidence appears that might bring her back to court, wouldn't stupid and cheerful apply here if she shows up on the block? Well, his point is well taken, and I know that the jury is getting a lot of grief about it, but there are very specific guidelines. I mean, you have to be able to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt. And you know, do you guys know about the Sodet defense?
The what defense?
The Sodet defense.
What's that?
Some other dude did it. So, I mean, that's part. It's a very well-known technique in defense circles. Is, you know, people have to believe without any doubt that this person did it. And so, you know, you throw in other people. That was, you know, if you can't believe 100% that this person did it, then you can't convict them. Okay, Jamie says, this is it. I would give her the Amish shunning. She doesn't need any more time or attention for her actions. If she does any interviews, I will not read or watch them. And from this point out, she no longer exists to me, just like before the trial. So there. I wonder if Jamie lives in Pennsylvania. You know, supposedly she's getting TV interviews and book deals and whatever. Jeff says, I would befriend her and wait for the truth to slip out over a cocktail. The question is, once the truth had slipped out, what would you do with it, Jeff? You can only, isn't that double jeopardy? You can only be on trial for your life once? I think that's true.
For the same...
Well, but it would be the same thing. And they asked for the death penalty, I think, in this one, which means that she can't be tried again.
Oh, she'll never be tried again for this. No, she can't be.
Yeah, well, that's the only crime that presumably she's committed, right?
Right.
That we know of.
But if she committed another crime, they could...
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be very careful. I think jaywalking may be very dangerous to her right now. Kim said, I'd probably give her the shaking of the head, disgusted look, maybe some fess-up signs on her lawn, perhaps put a fish in her mailbox.
Wow.
Maya says, I'd treat her just like my existing neighbors. Say hi if I saw her and go on with my business. It's the media and looky-loos that are bound to gather around her that would cause the grief and disrupt the peace. Well, that's kind of a balanced point of view, isn't it?
Talk host Gary Meyer here with a focus on the death threats that have started making the rounds, both for Casey and for some of the jurors, and all the TV, movie, and book deals that seem to be drying up.
Last week I was off, so I didn't have a chance to weigh in on the Casey Anthony verdict.
You're okay. The only one.
I know, and I apologize if there's some redundancy here, but, okay, even if she didn't kill her daughter, all right, and according to this jury, she did not. Or,
well,
here's what they're saying. They're saying, we didn't think she was innocent. There was just not enough proof that she did it. Well, I'm thinking, but by the mere fact of doing that, you're saying she's innocent. You can't be kind of pregnant. You can't be kind of a murderer. You either are or you aren't, but doesn't matter. Casey is only going to serve 4 years, and that's already pretty much been served. And one of the jurors... says here, this is fairly new information, just came out today, a juror in the Anthony trial said she has received death threats and has been unable to work since she was cleared of murder, Casey. The woman, known as juror number 12, left her job and went into hiding, fearing co-workers would want her head on a platter. Her husband said before leaving, she told him, I'd rather go to jail than sit on a jury like this again. Okay, I don't know why they're surprised. One of the jurors... was interviewed on ABC, and then she was given a trip to Disney World with 4 extra tickets.
What are you doing after the verdict?
I don't know how you get a prize for any of this. And I'm hearing that Casey is going to get millions, at least in offers. Did I hear this right, that Jerry Springer has offered her $1 million?
Yeah, but if you read it, I mean, the deal was he offered her $1 million, but only if her family came with her and all these things that... you know, just wouldn't happen. So he basically just got publicity out of the offer.
So she could actually become rich off of this.
They're saying a lot of the offers are drying up, the ones that they thought might be coming down the pike.
Say she didn't kill her daughter, and that's what I said. The jury said she didn't. She's got to go down as one of the worst mothers on earth, and is there any prison time they can give her for that? How do you not report your 2-year-old daughter is missing for a month? And then you're out partying, getting tattoos? That doesn't fit what's going on with this situation. She's got a screw loose at the very least, right? Because that's not right. Your daughter's missing, 2-year-old daughter's missing, and you don't report it for a month?
That leads us to number 2, the 2012 presidential race. That'll be up next on the Talk Radio Countdown Show.
I need a 3-phase cooling tower motor to stay in business.
At Grainger, we know what business you're in.
If we take good care of our customers, they'll take good care of us.
The business of getting things done. That's why we offer over 900,000 products and the support you need to get your job done right and on time. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by one of our branches. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Live from Progressive.
Next caller.
Hey, Flo, so what's up with the Snapshot discount?
It rewards your good driving habits, and it's our biggest discount ever.
Bigger than the safe driver discount?
Bigger.
Homeowners discount?
Bigger.
The phenomenally humongo discount?
If it existed, yeah.
Wow, that is big.
The Snapshot discount. It's new, it's a big deal, and it's finally here. Learn more at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Snapshot is not available in all states.
The greatest speeches.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Of all time.
Because this is the party of Lincoln and Reagan.
On The Conservative Voice.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
The Conservative Voice, a 2-disc DVD or CD containing some of the most powerful speeches ever. feature are Ronald Reagan.
Our government is too big.
Sarah Palin.
Let's drill, baby, drill, not stall, baby, stall.
George W. Bush.
I can hear you, and the people who knocked these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
Highlights of speeches from some of the most legendary figures in American political history can be yours now. Here's how to order.
To order, go to www.conservativevoice.us/Doug. That's conservativevoice.us/Doug. conservativevoice.us/Doug.
For the Wireless Minute, I'm Jeff Levy, the digital doctor. Residents of and travelers to Los Angeles this week are preparing for what's being called Carmageddon. A large section of the heavily traveled 405 freeway will be closed for the weekend, and that's undoubtedly going to result in traffic jams, detours, and frustration. So don't hit the road unprepared. Here's Kevin Kunkel for Sprint 4G.
Well, I wish we had the cure for Carmageddon. We can certainly help ease the pain during the 53 hours. First thing I recommend is that you use your Sprint 4G phone's GPS to check traffic and even find alternate routes using our Sprint navigation and Google on your device. And if you're stuck in an unfamiliar area, you can find restaurants and coffee shops close by with these apps. And don't forget, no texting while driving.
Visit Sprint.com/4G for details. Coverage not available everywhere. The Sprint 4G network reaches over 70 markets and counting on select devices.
Save big during the PetSmart Power Sale. You'll find great deals on thousands of items when you use your Pet Perks card. Save $4 on all varieties of Iams cat food in 16 to 20-pound bags. Iams has a new taste your cat will love. And PetSmart has the largest selection of Iams formulas among leading retailers. Try Iams today, because healthy never tasted so good. Don't miss this great Iams deal, only at PetSmart. Happiness in store. While supplies last, offer valid through July 24th.
Number two on this week's countdown, the people who are trying to be president on the Republican side anyway. Here's host Steve Gill with Herman Cain about his campaign, where it is, and what makes him different from everybody else.
You have captured that straight talk business. I mean, Donald Trump, you know, Michelle Bachmann, you people are gravitating towards the folks that are telling it like it is.
Tell the truth, and it's my common sense message. I talk about the crises we face. Common sense approach to these. I talk about my problem solving approach, because that's what I did in business for over 40 years. The thing that distinguishes me from the other candidates running for the Republican nomination is that I'm not a politician. I'm a problem solver. And I have a very clear record of solving a big problem at Pillsbury. I had to solve a big problem at Burger King when I got the worst performing region of 450 restaurants. And in 3.5 years, it became the best. You don't go from worst to best by accident. It's because of a disciplined approach to solving problems. And I applied that approach when I talk about my common sense approach to issues we face in this country. For example, let's take the debt ceiling. Don't raise it. And all of these scare tactics about how it's going to hurt old people, children, and puppy dogs, that's just scare tactics. If we have enough money, first of all, this debt ceiling thing should not have become a crisis. This president allowed it to become a crisis so he could use the crisis as leverage to get what he wants, which is to raise taxes and keep on spending. And the American people are saying, no, we have enough money to pay Social Security checks, Medicare checks, pay the interest, because the amount of interest, we're not going to default on the interest, and to pay our military, our men and women in uniform. You pay those four things, then you take the deep cuts on everything else and don't raise the ceiling. It's just a sheer lack of leadership that we are in this crisis, and they are debating back and forth and back and forth.
Well, and the debt was about $10 trillion when Barack Obama took office.
Yes.
That $14 trillion debt ceiling we're bumping up against,
right,
is only because they've spent us $4 trillion deeper in debt in the last 2.5 years. If we will raise it, even if we raise it just a little bit, but trim back that trillion and a half a year we're overspending, we're not going to have to worry about a debt ceiling.
In 2008, I specifically recall, a lot of people don't remember this, in 2008, after President Obama was elected, he made the statement, deficits don't matter. In his mind, they don't matter. This is why he wants to raise taxes and keep on spending. They do matter. This deficit has helped to cause this economy to come to a standstill. This $14 trillion deficit has caused the value of the dollar to go down. This $14 trillion deficit is causing the rating agencies to consider lowering our rating. That's not good for the United States, and it all starts with the debt. He wants to raise taxes and raise debt and then say, trust me.
CNN's Kira Phillips talked to former New Mexico Governor Gary Johnson about the issues his campaign seems to be focused on, which are not the issues everybody else seems to be talking about.
What is it with you and poker? Are you a gambler?
You know, Kira, I think the poker issue is indicative of dozens of other issues where the government steps in and gets in the way of a person's passion. You know, the federal government outlawed online poker playing. And about 6 weeks ago, they closed down all online poker playing worldwide for U.S. citizens. So they froze $100 million in assets. They really took poker away from 10 million poker players' ability to be able to play it. So they got into that person's passion. My passion is downhill skiing and mountain biking. And you know what? Right now, the federal government is restricting my access to public lands, trails on public lands as a mountain biker. And yet they'll allow horses and the excrement that goes along with horses on those public lands. A very small example, mountain biking. A very big example, poker playing. Even a bigger example, drugs.
But even, okay, and critics would come back and say, okay, you know, Governor Johnson, I mean, we are in a bad situation right now, bad economy. People are desperate. They're doing anything now to make a buck. And legalizing marijuana, you know, saying that poker is okay. Is this the right time for those two issues to be on your agenda?
Well, they're indicative of everything that's on my agenda, which is a cost-benefit analysis to everything government is doing. What are we spending our money on, and what are we getting for the money that we're spending? So when it comes to online poker, why not create tens of thousands of jobs in this country to accommodate 10 million Americans' passion to play poker? When it comes to drugs, I'll just get back to the fact, half of what we spend on law enforcement, the courts, and the prisons is drug-related. Kira, it is never going to be legal to smoke pot, become impaired, get behind the wheel of a car, or do harm to others. It's never going to be legal for kids to smoke pot or buy pot. But the situation that we have today, right now, is that we're arresting and we're sending to jail people that sell small amounts of drugs on numerous occasions, and they're getting caught for that. This is much the same as prohibition of alcohol in the 20s. Who got rich in the 20s? Border violence with Mexico. Look, this is a prohibition phenomenon. Legalized marijuana, and arguably 75% of the border violence with Mexico goes away because these are disputes that are being played out with guns rather than the courts.
ABC's Jonathan Carl here with a discussion about Michelle Bachmann and her replacement at the top of the polls in Iowa anyway.
There is no presidential candidate with more momentum right now than Michelle Bachmann.
No Republican presidential candidate has taken a harder line on the debt ceiling showdown than Michelle Bachmann.
We were all shocked and appalled that President Obama dangled out in front of the cameras that senior citizens may not get their checks. That's a very dangerous statement to make. We don't believe that for a moment.
Tough talk from Bachmann is nothing new, but she now speaks with newfound authority as a top-tier contender for the Republican presidential nomination. A new national poll puts Bachmann firmly in second place as the leading challenger to frontrunner Mitt Romney. And in key first caucus state, Iowa, three separate polls over the past week put Bachmann in first place.
Republican primary voters are looking for somebody who brings some excitement, who brings something different to the table, and she definitely does that.
Thank you, everyone. We love you.
Bachmann has also positioned herself firmly to the right on social issues, becoming one of just two Republican candidates to sign a so-called Declaration of Dependence upon Marriage and Family, promising absolute opposition to redefining marriage and vowing personal fidelity. With Bachmann's rise, it's no wonder she now finds herself under attack.
Her record of accomplishment in Congress is non-existent. It's non-existent.
In an interview with Fox News, Bachmann responded.
Exactly true. When you're running for the presidency of the United States, you've got to expect that you're going to have attacks by all sides. But my focus has not been on negativity because that's not what people are talking about.
We will know soon if Bachman's going to have competition in appealing to those Tea Party and evangelical voters from Sarah Palin. An interview last night on Fox News, Palin said that the field still lacks somebody with good executive experience. She talked quite at length about what she would run a campaign like, and she said she will make that decision about whether or not to run Sarah Palin by August or September.
That leaves us at number one. We'll talk about the budget and the debt ceiling next year on the Talk Radio Countdown Show.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop! Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher-safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
Hello, this is Steve Shank. What does freedom mean to you? eFoods Direct is celebrating freedom with the Freedom Food Giveaway. Each week in July, they are giving away a one-year food supply. Just go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and register to win a one-year food supply with a 25-year shelf life. At eFoodsDirect.com/Alex, look for the New Patriot Pack, a $149 12-day supply of food, plus accessories that is free with a purchase of $235 or more. Call 800-409-5633 or on the web eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and register to win a free one-year supply of food. Then listen to Alex Jones to announce the weekly winners. Also, the first 50 to register each day win a $50 subscription to the Voice of Reason e-newsletter. Go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex or call 800-409-5633.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Doug Steffen, number one on the countdown this week, the budget. Host Ken Altshuler and Mike Violette talk to ABC's Ann Compton about the president walking out of the debt talks this week, as both sides seem to be resorting to finger-pointing and name-calling.
So the president, you know, walked out, whether it was abrupt or otherwise, you know, we can debate that. But was it John Boehner who said yesterday that dealing with these guys is like dealing with Jell-O? The rhetoric level's been ratcheted up really high, Ian.
Another food group. Aligned as a villain in this. Here's why that is. Two things that's important. Number one, Cantor came out of the talks last night. Of course, none of us are in there, so we don't hear or see any of those. But Cantor came out and spoke on the record very specifically about what he said and what the president said. The Democrats have chosen to speak only on background, only giving us a sense of what goes on. Yesterday, the speaker spoke on the record to a White House TV correspondent in his office, no cameras, but he said the president's position over the last week has been like Jell-O, that the figures keep melting. After listening to the Democrats explain the numbers on the table, I think there may be some validity in that. There has been some shifts and some ranges. The fact is $1.7 trillion on the table doesn't come even close to the Republicans' request for or demand for $2.4 trillion with no taxes. They'll meet again today. That's the good news. The bad news is the president says tomorrow they've got to decide whether this is going to work or whether it's time to change gear.
Then what?
Well,
is there a plan?
Stay tuned. I hate to say that old trite presidential phrase, stay tuned. But look, this is a process. It's a dynamic process. And we can do all the predicting we want to, but on Monday, I wouldn't have predicted what happened on Wednesday. On Thursday morning, I'm not going to predict what's going to happen by close of business on Friday or what's going to happen over this weekend. The president stands ready to meet all weekend long if they can get a deal. But right now, the feelings are so bad. Republicans are going public. The Democrats are not. It depends on today's meeting, and it depends on what develops tomorrow.
Talk host Bob Durgin here with Congressman Todd Platts of Pennsylvania about what he thinks will happen next in the debt talks.
Do you think Congress and the White House will eventually reach a deal on raising the debt ceiling? And they probably will, but who's going to cave in?
Well, I think we need to reach a deal to make sure we fulfill the full faith and credit of the United States, but in a way that reduces spending and puts in systemic spending reform so we don't keep digging.
Yeah, well, you know, the Democrats and the Republicans are entrenched. The Democrats say, hey, you know, we're going to have some tax increases if you want spending reductions. And the Republicans are saying there's not going to be any tax increases, and we are going to have spending reductions. So who's going to cave in?
First, you know, we have a spending problem first, and then we have a revenue problem that goes hand in hand with that. And so we got to reduce spending. And when we talk about revenue problem, how to increase revenue is where the disagreement is. The Democrats, President Obama, even though 6 months ago in an economy that was even a little better than what it is today, said, hey, you don't raise taxes in a bad economy. And that's why he signed the tax extension that he did back in December. The economy is worse today, so it's certainly even more you don't want to raise taxes. We want to raise revenue, but the way you do it, and the way we did it in the late 90s, early 2000, 2001 to pay down debt was you promote private sector growth and you have a strong private economy that generates more money to the federal government.
And the way you have a strong economy is not to increase taxes.
Exactly.
So if in the end the Republican leadership does something, in your opinion, that results in a compromise and agreeing to some kind of a tax increase to get the tax reductions, are you going to vote for it?
Well, I always want to see the devil's in the details of anything proposed. I don't think you'll see that come. You know, I think it's a non-starter when we talk about tax rates. If there's anything that would possibly even be considered, and probably not likely by our leadership, is closing some of the tax loopholes that are out there that, you know, maybe were wrongly provided.
Closing tax loopholes is a tax increase.
So, well, and that's why I say the devil's in the details. You know, my position is we have a spending problem. You know, first and foremost, you know, we can't keep spending, you know, $1.5 trillion. You know, the largest deficit under President Bush, which was large enough to begin with, but was about $450 billion. The last 3 years under this administration, we've averaged about $1.5 trillion. And so it's a spending problem more than anything else.
So let's recap our top 10, the most talked about topic on talk radio, the battle over the budget. Major League Baseball at number 10, Roger Clemens mistrial number 9, childhood obesity study is 8, number 7, the political turmoil in the Middle East, News Corporation hacking scandal is number 6, the assassination of Afghan President Hamid Karzai's brother is number 5, TSA hearings are number 4, aftermath of the Casey Anthony trial number 3, number 2, the 2012 presidential race, and the battle over the budget and the debt ceiling is number 1 on this week's Talk Radio Countdown Show.